The world needs messages of love, unity, compassion, and inclusivity now more than ever, and this podcast delivers that. Whether you're a parent, teacher, counselor, or energy healer, with the right intention, we all have the potential to be a healing presence for others. The truth is, we are all ordinary people capable of having an extraordinary impact. Imagine if we all did that on purpose. Join Global Impact visionary leader, intuitive healer, and spiritual mentor, Sue DeMay, for authentic conversations that will inspire you to become more of a healing presence in your work, in your relationships, and in the world. And now, here is your host, Sue DeMay.
Welcome to the podcast. We are all healers based on the book. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. I am your host, Sue DeMay, and I'm here with Nicole. And today we're going to be talking about the healing presence of animals, animals in nature as a healing presence. And when I first, introduced or invited Nicole to write into the book, of course, it was just natural for her to share about animals in nature because she's surrounded with animals in nature. So welcome, Nicole. I'm excited to share this conversation with you.
Thank you.
So let's begin with what it means for you to be a healing presence.
What it means for me to be in a healing presence is showing up authentically as I am, just being me and being soft-hearted and kind and just meeting people exactly where they're at without judging them. So I feel like that is one of my gifts, is holding space and being able to be quiet, which I believe is a healing presence, being silent and just witnessing people where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I very much like holding that container of listening, deep listening, so that people can feel heard. A lot of people, the world is just so noisy and there's so much advice and there's so much opinions and judgments, and it's just, there's a lot of noise. So to have the silence, to hold space for someone with the skill of deep listening is such a gift right now. Such a gift.
Mm-hmm. We have so much noise in our own mind too. So for someone just to hold that space.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's share a little bit about your experience with your connection to animals and nature and how that's been healing for you.
I've always been drawn to animals. I've always been drawn to nature. And I experienced a lot of trauma in my life as a child, but I never knew that the animals and nature were actually healing me until I kind of embarked on this journey and sitting with it and writing the story and like really feeling into what is it about the animals, what is it about nature. And I think it's just the non-judgmental space that they hold. And it doesn't have to be just a horse or, a cat. It can be the dogs, the chickens, the bunny rabbit, the bird in the air. They have such a beautiful sense of communicating without words. So I feel that the healing presence of nature and animals is the silence that they can hold, the space that they can hold. And they don't look at us with judgment. They love us no matter what, especially our dogs. Like, they are here to please us, or so they think they're here to please us. And they'll love us no matter what. Cats, they're a little bit more like, yeah, I come to you on my time. But yet their purr and their frequency of their purr is such a high vibration that it can help heal our bones, actually, in our bodies with their purr. So I think each animal is intuitively gifted in how they can help us and help heal us. And I think Mother Earth, nature, is just, she's a gift. I think if we just sit out in nature, that's even healing, just the silence, putting that lovely little device away that we carry with us all the time. So I think the animals and nature just bring us back to that sense of calm, that peace, that non-judgment, and not distracting us from anything. They're just there in every present moment. So I think animals teach us really to be in the present moment.
Yeah, absolutely. They've definitely mastered the art of being present. Every once in a while, because we live close by, you and I, and you have a farm nearby, but so you live in kind of farm country and I'm pretty close to farm country. And as soon as I start driving and I'm like looking, I'm watching, you know, the horses just sitting and grazing or just like sitting and staring, like doing nothing. And I'm like, for the longest time, I was always fascinated. I'm like, how can animals just sit there and do nothing? Like, but in doing nothing, it's like, it's everything, because they have such like a peaceful, calm presence. Like they're just so present with nature. So, you know, Samson, one of my horses, which, you know, has passed away, but you knew him. I have always said that he was just such a friendly, he was always connecting with everyone and everything. Like a butterfly would go by and you could just see him like fascinated by it. A bee would come near and land nearby and he would go up and say hi to it. Like he was just so present and so welcoming. His heart was always so open to everybody. It was like so inclusive and so curious and always saying hi and could make friends with anything and everyone and everything. The presence of horses for me, and I'll speak about that with you because you have horses and you have the Horse Guided Healing Sanctuary. The presence of horses for me has always been like almost like looking in a mirror, like seeing an aspect of myself or an aspect of myself that I want to, you know, embrace or embody. And I know for me, horses have always been a healing presence, even just seeing them in the field, driving by, let alone being around them. Can you speak a little bit about kind of your experience with the horses? Like, how did you get started working with horses? What was your first experience?
It's funny you say the horses. I still get lost when I'm driving and I see horses on the side of the road. I'm like, oh, and I have horses. So I don't think that ever goes away whether you have horses or don't have horses. How did I get started? My cousin actually was going for a ride. I was 10. I had never really, they were always captivating to me. Like I loved them and I was drawn to them. But I wasn't really into them. My family wasn't farmers. My family was not out in the field or anything. My mom's terrified of horses. So anyways, my cousin was going and my aunt was like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure. I went when I was 10 and that was it for me. I rode this little like black and white pony and that was it. My love grew. And then I took lessons and I did it for quite a while. And then I became a lovely teenager and went through my own stuff of being a teenager, and it was like, forget horses, I'm into boys and other stuff. So I let go of the horses for quite some time, and then things started to surface that I was ready to look at and heal. And I had done talk therapy for a couple years off and on, and although it was great, I needed something more. There was it just sitting on a couch wasn't doing it for me. So I found and researched and found a woman and started taking some sessions with her. And I did write about it in the book that one of my sessions, I felt like it was bullcrap. But I knew later that day and the following day that something had definitely shifted because I wanted more. I wanted to go back, even though my human brain was like, oh, you're getting nothing out of this, blah, blah, blah. Yet something had shifted in my body. So I continued to do that. And it was my own stuff that called me. But I wouldn't even say it was just like the trauma. I think it was just like the essence of these beautiful beings and learning about them in a different way. Because when you ride, it's one thing. But when you step into this type of work and really allow a horse to be a horse, it's a whole new ballgame. At least that's my sense and my feeling, because I had to do a lot of forgiveness to the horses around who I used to be when I was riding and just how I was. And then now being with them in this way and shifting with them is such a gift. And I mean, I wouldn't change anything else because I learned a lot. It's just a new way of being with them. So I think I was always drawn to them, but I haven't been with them since I was 10. It was kind of in and out.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like when we have those connections to nature, we are kind of connecting back to the true essence of who we are, helping us kind of come back into, you know, a sense of being at home within our bodies, within our human experience. And horses kind of help us ground in that reconnection to self. So when you're talking about like coming back and, you know, seeing them in the field is one thing, riding them, you know, on a trail, especially if the trail is, they're just following, you know, you're not really riding them, they're just following the leader, is another thing. But actually being in their presence with the intention of healing is a whole other ball game. So they're healing just in the field, but to actually purposefully, intentionally meet them and for them to meet you, because your horses are healers. They're actually showing up as healers, and they know they have work to do. When you have a client, they're like, they're all showing up in the way that they're meant to show up for that client in service to that healing session. So I love that you know, we're talking a little bit about the difference in how we can kind of see them. And even with dogs and cats, they can all show up as healers. I feel like many of them are here to help us heal.
Absolutely. I fully agree. I actually have a beautiful sign out front of the property that it says horse guided healing. And then my cats love to sit on it. And it's like, I feel like they're saying, it's like, it's not just the horses.
Yeah.
There's so much more. And I think every beautiful creation that, you know, God or Mother Earth or whatever you believe has created, there is a purpose to it. And yeah, when you show up ready and willing to heal with nature, with the animals, they support you. And as we heal, they deepen their healing as well. So I believe that, yeah, as clients come and they heal their stuff, my horses get to heal at a deeper level, which then we know when we heal at a deeper level, we can support people healing on a deeper level. So I think the horses, yeah, they're evolving as we're evolving.
Mm-hmm. So on your property, you also have other, I know when I'm there, the last time I actually arrived to visit you, I was starting to walk over the bridge and all your chickens were free ranging at the time. And they literally came running. And I used to have chickens, so I loved when they ran. And there was times where I would actually run and they would chase me. Like for fun, we would actually like, come on, let's run to the barn. So they, like, I don't know how many you have, 40 or 50, but...
We counted, we're at 54.
54, okay. They all came running, like it was just like this greeting committee. They're like, oh my God, someone's at the bridge. And they were all like running as fast as they can. They come to the bridge and they're all like clucking around me and I'm like walking and they're following me. It's just that like brought so much joy for me because I love chickens. But like something so small, not small, but you know what I mean? Like something so simple can bring so much joy when it comes to nature. Even when I was a kid, finding like a frog, like the tiny frogs that fit on the size of your nail, like those kinds of things when I was a kid, like in nature, or finding like special rocks or a leaf that was just unique or different than all the others. And those kinds of things, tadpoles in the stream, you know, those kinds of things really brought me such joy and still bring me such joy. So you have the chickens, you have the horses, you have the ducks,
the cats.
Yeah, the cats,
the dogs.
Yeah. There's literally like an animal sanctuary of like, you know, opportunity for people. And then of course there's all, you know, the birds, the eagles that fly over.
The blue herons have been incredible. We have a lot of blue herons. So it's really neat to see all the different nature and animals that show up for people. And when you're saying that certain leaf or like when there's just such a joy in finding different things. Like I remember I was out back and I was with the horses and I was going through my own process and I looked down and there was a walnut and I thought it was a full walnut. but it wasn't. It was in half, and it was like this beautiful heart inside. And I was like, oh my goodness. So it's like there's miracles all around in nature and with the animals.
I feel like when we're with in nature and with animals, we are more in touch with creation.
Yeah.
At least that's what I feel. It's like more in touch with creation, like feeling a little closer to God or a little closer to source or the universe, whatever it is that someone believes in. I feel like it's reminds us, like we it just allows us. Because, their technology is great. It allows us to do this kind of thing. It keeps us connected in certain ways, but it also really disconnects us in certain ways, right? It becomes a distraction. It can become, a constant like pinging in your ear. And I always turn my notifications off at certain times because it's just, I just need to be quiet and silent. Saturday, I went to the store, and this is really weird. I had this really interesting time warp on Saturday. I got so much done in a short period of time. It felt like I caught up like for a year in like, a 12-hour period. But at one point I went to the store and I was kind of halfway there and I'm like, I don't think I have my phone. And it was probably the first time I left the house without my phone in like a long time. And I don't ever do it like on purpose. It's usually by accident. And it's a rare that I forget it because I'm kind of always on call for clients and stuff like that. So I always get notices. So it was in, it used to, if I did it before, say 5 years ago, I would feel almost naked. It'd be like, oh my God, I forgot my phone. I'm like, it's like I didn't get dressed or something. It felt really weird, but I was very attached to my phone. And for the longest time, I was like, I was having these experiences, even in nature and stuff like that. And my thoughts would be, oh, I can't wait to share this on Facebook, or I can't wait to share this on Instagram. So I was almost living for the technology. And I got to the point where I'm like, I don't want to be this attached. I don't want my phone to be so integrated into everything and my every moment. So this time when I left on Saturday and I realized I didn't bring my phone, I'm like, huh. I was like, it felt really like neutral or even good. Like it was just like, okay, yeah, interesting. I
Like
don't
a
have my
sense of
phone.
freedom. Like when you were saying it, it was like, oh, it's kind of like freeing. Even though there's that piece of us that's like, oh, it feels weird because we're so used to it.
Yeah, it was
I've
interesting.
started doing that with leaving the phone in the house now when I go out to the barn sometimes because I'll be out there and I'll go out for a purpose, but I have this beautiful device and it goes ding and then I get lost and I was like, oh, oops. So yeah, I've been making a point now to try to put my phone in the house when I go out back. Not all the time, but just making that point of maybe I should put it down a little bit more.
Well, even the idea of putting it down, turning off notifications, leaving the house without it. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what you'll be guided to do, but the key for me has been the mindset, like changing my mindset. So when I'm in nature, if I'm going for a walk, if I'm, there's times I will take a picture. We saw this like chipmunk. Okay, here's a funny story. Stephen, my husband and I were walking at a Campbell Valley Park nearby. We're walking on this one trail and we're talking about just how many squirrels there are. There's the gray squirrel, the red squirrel, the black squirrel. They're just everywhere. There's tons of squirrels. And I know for every squirrel I see, there's probably four or five I don't see. So there's a lot of squirrels. And he said, he's sitting there and he's like, you know what's really weird? He goes, in the lower mainland, there's no chipmunks. I'm like, oh my God, I love chipmunks. There was so many chipmunks in Ontario when I grew up. I love chipmunks. And he's like, yeah, there's no chipmunks in the lower mainland. He goes, I've never seen a chipmunk in the lower mainland. He goes, they're in the interior, they're in different places of BC, but you don't see them in the lower mainland. And literally within a minute of him saying that, a little chipmunk came and walked in front of us and stopped and be like, hello, like I'm right here. I'm a chipmunk and I live in Campbell Valley Park. And I was just like, at first I had tears and I'm just like, oh my God, there's a chipmunk. And he had really unique stripes. He had extra stripes on his back. So I did take a picture, but it wasn't for me. It wasn't for like, oh, I can't wait to share this with somebody. It was like, I was so like in love with this chipmunk and the synchronicity of the timing, that he showed up.
Right.
was just so brilliant. And my husband was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm missing a chipmunk right now. But I swear this chipmunk heard our conversation. It was just like, because he followed us for a while down the path. Mm. And at one point I said, I'm like, is this my mom, you know, sending a message? And then he came to the front of the path again and looked at us and then ran off and he was gone. So I'm like, oh yeah, a little bit of my mom in there, you know, waiting for a visit. So it was really cool. But like I said, I swear the chipmunk was like sending a message. I hear you and I'm here. Like, check it out.
I believe you. Because that's the only place I've seen a chipmunk in the Lower Mainland is at Campbell Valley Park. Yeah. And we go there and we give them peanuts. And they're such a little unique little creature, but they're like so powerful in their presence. And I think that's like pulling in that piece, like even going for a walk and noticing the different animals. And like, if you think there's a bird that's not out there, be like, I don't believe this bird or whatever. And see, like, because they're always talking to us. They're always around. They're always listening. It's us lovely humans that have a harder time stopping and listening.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty like cool that he popped up.
Yeah. We can get away from the distractions and come back to just feeling and being present with, you know, the sun, the air, the wind, the leaves, nature really helps us remember our connectedness to everything.
Well, and it's remembering that we are part of like the earth. And I know lots of people don't like the rain and we want to complain about stuff, but the weather is very much like us humans. Some days we're sunny. Some days the weather is sunny. Some days we can't stop crying. Some days the rain doesn't stop. So we're very much fluid, like, you know, like the weather. So, I think the weather represents us and we represent the weather. So
yeah,
I think
sometimes
the world.
There's a cloud.
Blocking that beautiful sunshine. And you're like, oh, come on.
Sometimes there's lightning and we're a little angry or a little frustrated. Yeah. We all kind of can move. And like the key again, going back to it, is like not judging it. We just don't judge nature. We don't have to judge ourselves.
So it's a beautiful creation to be able to come back into nature. And you know what, even if you're not an animal person, just being in nature with natural or not natural animals around you, wild animals around you, like you don't have to be an animal lover to have the animals support you.
Mm-hmm. Well, even just sitting, you know, on a bench in the middle of the trees is healing, because the presence of the trees, the energy field of the trees is more harmonized than our energy kind of, you know, at the grocery store, you know?
Yeah.
So being in nature is actually healing in many, many ways.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about, you know, what are some of the ways that the horses send messages, like during the sessions when you're working? Because I've had tabletop sessions, I've had the horse guided sessions and with you and stuff. Can you share a little bit about some of the ways that the horses send messages and how you interpret some of those messages in the sessions?
I'll do my best. So I've learned how to read my herd. I believe all horses have the ability to do what my horses do, because I know there's lots of different people that work with horses. But with my herd, I've really learned to sit with them in silence, witness them as a herd, and learn their unique gifts, because each horse, like each human, we all have different gifts to share with the world. So when a client shows up, I get people that ask, like, well, what is it like? It's never the same. So just because one client shows up and this is how we start a session doesn't mean that, you know, the hours later, another client will show up and we'll start the session the same way. It's really witnessing the horses, usually for me, is about 20 minutes prior to the client coming, and just watching the herd dynamic, seeing what's going on. And then when the client comes, witnessing the herd, seeing what they're doing. And how they like to move energy for us, they release, and that can be by yawning, pooing, peeing, and that's a release. Yes, people are like, well, that's regular things. That's what animals do. Yes, and when they know that a client is coming, they know that what they're doing is for that client.
The one thing that's coming in right now is when we're there and they like, they do the whole like, yeah. And you're like, oh, we need to breathe. Oh yeah. Breathe. Yeah.
That, yeah.
It's always at that's a timing a where I'm one. Holding my breath. They always like horses do that all the time, but when they do it and I'm around, it's usually because I'm holding my breath or there's something going on where I'm not breathing. So
yeah. And that is definitely a big one. I definitely know when people aren't breathing because it's like synchronicity. It's like a music, like it's song. They all go off at individual times or they'll go off all together. And it's, yeah. And it's funny because repeating clients, a lot of children, they're, I don't even have to say anything anymore. They hear it and they're like, oh. Some people I still have to remind them. But once you realize that when a horse is breathing, it's reminding you to breathe. People just like, oh yeah, I'm not breathing. And that's a big one. We love to hold our breath, or not if we're holding it, we're just not expanding our lungs the best that we possibly can. So yeah, the horses definitely love to show us how to breathe. Mm-hmm. And then be goofy. You can see like when someone comes and they're feeling sad or blue, or they have a heavy thing that is on their heart. The horses know how to spark the joy. So they're not taking away, but they're letting people know that healing, we can bring joy and find joy in the healing. So they're a beautiful gift in that sense, because they can meet you exactly where they are or where you are. They will mirror stuff to you, what's happening within your life. And then they also, yeah, they can bring that joy back in that some people have forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me, Samson, our horse, broke open my heart. Like the last, like, you know, wall I had in there, he broke down in his passing. So he broke it down gradually as we had him as our horse. But when we had to let him go, we had to say goodbye. That was the hardest of all the animals that I've had to say goodbye to. He was the hardest. And it was, there was so much grief, but yet there was so much joy mixed in at the same time in the grief, because when he passed, I heard the message. He kept coming to my heart and putting his nose on my heart and saying, love without limits, love without condition. Like, open your heart. Love without limits, love without condition. And then like I would feel this joy come in, and he was coming into my heart and expanding from the inside and like bringing all the joy out and breaking the wall down. And I really feel my heart opened up so much when he passed. Within a couple days of him passing, I kept seeing this vision of him, just because in the end he had a lot of hip pain and he had some stuff going on. So he was really uncomfortable. So moving, getting up, lying down, those kinds of things were uncomfortable for him. But when he passed, I kept getting this vision of him running, and you've seen it, where he just was literally, if he's on the other side of the field, he was on the other side of the field and you came and he saw you, he would literally run as fast as he could. And his golden hair was just like flop, and he was a big Belgian draft horse, and he would run as fast as he can, even stop short right at the fence and be like, so excited to see you. He just had so much joy to see people. So I know horses are really good at having their own hearts open. So that's that entrainment, right? So coming closer to the horse and kind of being in the field of the energetic field of their heart actually helps our energetic field of our heart kind of break down the dense layers and break down the guardedness and the fear that we have and kind of surrounding our heart, stopping us from really feeling more deeply. And I know horses, I know you talk about that a lot.
There is science behind what the horses do. So there is a place out of California that studies, it's called the Institute of Heart Math, and they study the human heart versus a horse's heart. And yeah, there's totally science behind all of this, because some people are like, oh yeah, animals, okay, and don't feel it, and that's okay. But that's why there's science behind it for those minds that can't get past the sense. So it's giving them that, their minds, that peace that they need, and then they can move forward. So yeah, there is science behind working with animals as well. It's not just the intuitive knowing, which is an intuitive knowing, yet it's nice to have the science for the people that need the science behind it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And your guy was such a gentle giant. Like, as you're speaking about him, he keeps, he's like, I'm a gentle giant. I'm a gentle giant. And he was. He is. He was like, I wasn't, was. He is a gentle giant. Just because he's gone, and this is what I believe I've had, I've had a lot of horses cross over. I didn't realize that was one of my gifts, was to help them cross over. And they don't go away. They physically go away, but they're still with us. So we've got a lot of horses that you can see with your physical eye. And then we have a lot of horses here that work in the other realm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Samson's definitely.
Yeah. Their presence, the horse's presence is really strong. After they pass, they really do stick around. I feel like they're guardian angels on the other side. Same way they're earth angels on this side, they're guardian angels on the other side.
Absolutely.
So if someone's interested in learning more about what you do and what you offer, and maybe even coming to do their own horse guided healing session, how can they get a hold of you?
I have a Facebook and Instagram. My Facebook is Freedom to Feel and Horse Guided Healing. Instagram is just Horse Guided Healing _ under each word. And then my website is www.horseguidedhealing.ca.
Beautiful.
And then you can email me at horseguidedhealing@gmail.com or call me on my cell or text me. I'm a phone girl. So
yeah. And that's all on the website.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So anybody who's feeling drawn to learn more about Nicole, she does have the horse guided facilitator training available as well. So that's something, if you are interested in learning how you can start to read the horse's messages and their behaviors to support others in their healing, or if you just want to learn how to do it for yourself, the horse guided healing facilitator training is available too, through Nicole's website. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight around horses and nature and animals. It was a honor to have your story in the book. So I definitely feel like it brought a different element into the story. So thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, just a little side note too, if somebody's got their own horses and they're like, well, I don't need to go to her place, I do go and visit people to support them with their horses as well. So it doesn't have to be coming to me. I can travel as well.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. Yeah, to be able to learn how to interpret or communicate with your horses on a more intuitive level as well. That would be a gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me in the book. It was an honor to write in it. And it's been a beautiful journey to read and witness the ripple effect already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited about the impact that it's already having is wonderful. And I'm excited about more impact. So if you haven't already got your copy, We Are All Healers, Ordinary People with Extraordinary Intention Will Heal the World. Go out and buy your copy. It's available in all the online bookstores, ebook, and printed print-on-demand versions. So you can pick up a copy. Holding the book itself is healing. Like, it's actually so infused with healing intention and healing energy that just to order the book and hold it is very powerful in itself. So, and a reminder that all 100% of the royalties from this book sale, all the book sales, go to our Heart-Led Living humanitarian projects. So it is not about money, it's about impact. So if you're feeling inspired to impact your own life or impact other people's lives and learn how you can be a healing presence or more of a healing presence in your life, in the world, with your relationships, then I encourage you to go buy the book. So thank you all for being here and continuing to join us for these conversations about We Are All Healers, how we can all be a healing presence in the world. I appreciate you. I honor you. I see you. I am so grateful for your presence in the world, and the world is lucky to have you. So continue to make those little shifts so that you can have that ripple effect that will continue to reach all corners of the globe. Until next time, love and blessings.
Thank you for joining our global healing movement and podcast, inspired by the international best-selling book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. Order your copy today on your favorite online bookstore. 100% of the royalties go to support our Heart-Led Living Foundation humanitarian projects. Together, we can uplift humanity and unify us in love for each other and our planet.